Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janet B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Today is Monday, January 26, 2025. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 14, the sixth paragraph that starts, "My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity," through one paragraph ending, "With us, it is just like that." Today's readers are 12 Steps, Julie G, 12 Traditions, Nancy C, readers of the text, Penny E and Pete B, newcomer greeter, Kathy M, and second hour host, Tony B. The reference number for Sunday, January 25, the meeting is 23,156, that's 23156. My preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Julie G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Janet. Thanks for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Grateful to serve in January, I pass.
Thanks, Julie. And I will now ask Nancy C. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, Vision. Nancy C., compulsive overeater in Michigan. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thanks, Nancy. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions from recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. singleness only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 14, paragraph 6, that starts, "My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity," through one paragraph ending with us. It is just like that, commenting on that one paragraph. I will now ask Penny E. to begin reading. Good morning, Penny. Penny E. star 1, please.
Okay. Good morning, Janet. Thank you so much. This is Penny E., recovered in South Jersey, and this is quite a paragraph. Let's see.
Penny, could you read it for us first, please?
Yes, thank you. My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again, and if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that. Okay, so good morning, Penny E. from South Jersey, recovered. So many promises and warnings in the Big Book. So the first line here, the absolute necessity, his friend emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Step 12, we're talking about step 12 here. In all my affairs, it doesn't say just here, just there, just here. In all my affairs, it's a must. And particularly, it was imperative, also a must, to work with others as he had worked with me. And then faith without works is dead, right from the Bible. James, I can have all the faith in the world, but if I don't use it, if I don't put it to work, it doesn't mean anything. I can have faith that the electricity is going to work, but if I don't turn on the lights, it's dead. It doesn't make any difference, right? How appallingly true for the alcoholic. And this is a biggie. This is really, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. That's dangerous. We're going to pick up. And if he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. That's for me. This is not this is not games and fun and games. This is life and death. I take this as the word, as a word. I have to do exactly what this book tells me to do, or else I will pick up, and I believe I will die. I will die because I become suicidal when I'm in the food and I can't stop. And it says, and if that's the truth, then faith would be dead indeed. So there's so much here. Don't even, whatever. I love you all. Enjoy this paragraph, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Penny, for getting us started. I will now take a list of names, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back so others can share. And I am ready.
Lisa Fran, North
Carolina. Harlan G.
Riska
I. Bonnie B.
Okay. I got Lisa. I got Bonnie. I got Harlan. I got Christina.
Roz G.
Okay. Let me tell you who I have. And then if I didn't get you, I'll get you in. I have Lisa, Bonnie B., Harlan G., Christina, Hanayeta, Charles H., Roz G. Who'd I miss?
Vasa.
Cheryl A.
Vasa. Oh, and then someone A. Was
Rivka
that
R there?
Cheryl A.
Rivka R.
Cheryl A. I got you, Rivka. Is there
Nicole
anyone else?
B.
Nicole F. Pete B. Okay, we will go. Did I miss? Is there anyone who said their name who I missed? Let me tell you who I have. Lisa, sorry, didn't get your last initial. Bonnie B, Harlan G, Christina, Hanayeta, Charles H, Roz G, Vasa O, Cheryl A, Rivka R, Nicole S, Pete B. Did I miss anyone who said their name? Okay. Lisa, you are up, followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Lisa. Give us your first initial of your last name, please. Lisa, star one.
Okay, can you hear me now, Janet?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This is Lisa B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina. Thank you for your service and everyone that's doing service. When I hear the word faith in this paragraph, I think of full confidence, trust, and belief that this program works, but I didn't come in away with that kind of faith, but I saw it and I heard it in the people around me, and I saw and I heard lives changing, and that gave me enough faith to believe that it could work for me too. And I've heard it said, and I really love it, that faith is demonstrated by obedience. And if I really trust this program, I follow the directions. And that's what this paragraph makes clear, that the directions are an absolute necessity. It's not optional, not when I feel like it. And also that this disease is grave, deadly. When I hear the word faith without works is dead, I ask myself, you know, is my faith real? What are my feet doing? Where am I walking today? I also notice how clear the directions are spelled out in this powerful paragraph, especially when it says it's imperative that I work with others as he worked with me. The fellow that took me through the big book did not reinvent the wheel. She walked me through the big book the way it had been given to her. I don't have to recreate the wheel. I can take someone through the big book. And when I work with others that same way, moving quickly, it keeps things simple, keeps things moving. You know, we don't have to linger. We don't overthink. And the sponsee doesn't have to hold their breath underwater waiting for relief. We follow the directions. We go through it together. And I know this about myself. If I don't work my program, I will eat compulsively again. And if I eat compulsively again, the very first thing that dies isn't my body, it's my spirit. That internal spiritual death comes first. So today, this paragraph calls me back to action, to trust the program and to obey the directions, to work with others, and to keep my feet moving. So I'm grateful to be here, and thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And now we have Bonnie B., followed by Harlan G. Good morning, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone.
I am delighted to be here. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God, living in the state of Florida. I can't wait to hear all of the shares. A couple of things that jumped out to me, and they might not be the things that the average person thinks of, but my head immediately went to my friend. My friend. Okay, if I'm a friend in this program, I'm going to emphasize the absolute necessity of working and enlarging that spiritual life. Because if I don't do that with people that I sponsor, they will go back in. Because this is what happens, right? If I don't enlarge my spiritual tent, if I'm not working toward deepening my relationship with my Creator, I will be separated from God. And when I'm separated from God, I go back into the food. It's not an option. It's just the way it works. I go from being selfish and self-seeking to, by the grace of God, selfless, wanting to work with others, looking for ways, self-sacrificing, looking for ways that I can be of service to others. And it's in this program and outside of this program. I came into this program with one goal and only one goal. And it's the reality of it. I wanted a pant size and I wanted a number on the scale. There was no self-sacrifice when I came into this program. I was desperately seeking a couple of things, but it wasn't about how I could help you. And everything in this program screams, die to yourself, be of service to others. That's where you find life. The greatest gift I have is being able to talk with others on a daily basis. It is not it's not something on my checklist. When I came in, it was one of the things that people said, you know, we strongly encourage that you, dot, dot, dot. Not that it's necessarily in the big book spelled out like that, but I now look forward to that. When I put myself out to be of service, it's the greatest, it's the highlight. It's the highlight to talk with people about programs and about what God has done and what He has removed from me. And it's Him. He has removed it. And He removed it through working these steps. And, you know, I heard someone say once, you know, you can tell what someone, you can tell what you love. You know, I can say I love God. I have a strong faith. Well, you can tell what you love by looking at how you spend your time and what you spend your money on. You can say whatever you want. Just look at those two things. It's a pretty good indicator of what you actually love. Well, I love God, and I am grateful that He not only has saved me, but delivered me from a stronghold that held me captive for years and years and years. And so it is my privilege to give back. And I do know that if I don't, I will go back into my disease and I will die spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And so with that, I'll pass. And once again, thank you, everyone. Blessings.
Thanks, Bonnie. And we will now have Harlan G., followed by Christina. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you very much for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. On page 89 of the big book, it tells me that practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. Let's take a look at the paragraph we read this morning, and thank you, Penny, for getting us off to such a wonderful start. It said, my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity. It doesn't say the suggestion. It says the necessity of demonstrating these principles. What are the principles? The principles are the steps. This stuff about the principle of this is this, that came out after Bill was dead. Particularly, was it imperative? What does imperative mean? Imperative means important above all else to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. He did not work, he would surely drink again. If he drank, he would surely die. What is that telling me? I better sponsor. And what do I encounter all the time? People that won't. I wouldn't get a while. I wanted to be the perfect sponsor or I wasn't going to sponsor at all. Boulder dash, horse hockey. The big book does the heavy lifting. I take them through the chapters. We go through the chapters as they correspond to the steps. And the bottom line is the big book does the heavy lifting. And my job is to put their hand in the hand of God. What does Dr. Bob tell us on page 181 relative to sponsorship? He says, it is a sense of duty. It is a sense of it is a pleasure, because in so doing, I am paying my debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me, because every time I do it, I take out a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip. And that's what Dr. Bob says to us. So between Ebby and Dr. Bob and the Big Book and the 12th step, I have to sponsor. We don't. I have to sponsor. And what is it? What is said? It said an unexamined life isn't worth living. Now, I learn an enormous amount about myself by the inventory process. But I learn an infinite amount about myself through sponsoring other people. I see myself through their eyes. I see their experiences, and I parallel my own experiences. I answer questions at the end of our Scottsdale meeting every day, and one of the questions I get most is, how do I keep my program fresh? How do I keep my program green? And I do that by sponsoring other people. It takes me through the steps all the time. Thank you, Janet, for your service, and I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Harlan. And now we've got Christina. If you can give us the first initial of your last name, followed by Kanayata R. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And wow, I knew this was going to be a really powerful meeting today and stuff with the paragraph. And I'm not going to say anything new, because pretty much everything that I would have shared has been shared and then some. But you know, one of the first words that popped out to me this morning was imperative. And that sentence is highlighted in my book. Well, pretty much the whole paragraph is highlighted. But, you know, I was taught that I had to look for the must, shoulds, and imperatives, because that was the work that I absolutely had to do. And Bill's saying that like a couple of times. He's saying, emphasize the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles, and particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. I have found that sponsoring is probably the hardest thing that I've ever done in program. And I remember the first time I recovered, back in 2019, my sponsor at the time, she had a sponsee that was ready to go through the steps. And we weren't even quite through the steps, actually. We were in the 12th, or working with others, if I remember right. But, you know, we weren't quite through, but she needed to free up her time so she could take on another sponsee. So, you know, she asked me, she's like, so are you ready? And I'm like, no, I'll never be ready. But I know that I have to trust and rely on God, and God's going to be there to show me every step of the way what I need to do and how I need to do it. And like it was previously mentioned, you know, the Big Book does the heavy lifting. You know, my experience, you know, I have a relapse history. I've had 3 significant relapses. My last one, you know, I stopped doing 10 steps because I was trying to work the steps in another program. And then I stopped doing my nightly review because I was working the steps in another program. And then I stopped sponsoring because I was working the steps in another program. And within 3 months, my head was in the food. And within another 7 months, I was in the food. So this paragraph is incredibly important to me today, because I know my history. And you know, I've also been, this is one of the ways that I've been perfecting and enlarging my spiritual life, is through sponsoring and, you know, learning about, you know, how to be a more effective sponsor. And then also, you know, continuing to do all those 10 steps that are coming up, because, you know, I am finding out things about myself with sponsoring that where I struggle. And then I get to turn it over to God and ask God for direction as to how I can, you know, be of maximum service to him and to my fellows. And just incredibly grateful for being here today for this program, for the 12 steps, for all of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thanks, Christina. And now we have Hanayeta R, followed by Charles H. Good morning, Hanayeta.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Hanayeta R. Starts with a CH in case you're looking for me. I'm the only Hanayeta R, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I this paragraph again, like, I mean, I'm not going to probably say anything that hasn't already been said, but working with others, imperative. You know, I love my sponsees. I love them. I learned so much from them. You know, it's amazing when I go through the big book with somebody and they'll point out something that I hadn't really paid attention to before, or it hadn't come to me before. And it's like, wow, yes. And I underline what they've said and write in the corners what they've said. So they teach me so much, you know, and that keeps, somebody had said about being fresh, keeping your program fresh. I go through the steps all the time with new people. I love my little five. I have five sponsees right now, and I love them. And it goes on to the perfect. They failed to, I mean, perfect. They enlarge their spiritual growth through self-sacrifice for others, which means I have to do things I don't want to do for other people sometimes. But when I do them, I see, wow, I can't believe I didn't want to do this to begin with, because I get so much out of it, you know. And I can't keep what I have unless I give it away. That's one of the paradoxes of the program, you know, these things that don't make sense, surrender to win. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank my milkshake, then, you know, I would surely die. But what is dying? To me, dying is so many things. Somebody else has said it, I think, but I'm going to repeat. It's spiritual, emotional, physical. You know, I may not physically die, but I will die inside. Because when I'm not abstinent, when I'm not doing my program correctly, then I'm far away from God. And to me, that's like dying. I want to be real close. I want to be so close that I can feel him in my life. My shoulder, or give me a hug, or I want to be able to feel God. And if I have the food between us, then I'm going to surely die. I won't have that. I won't be close to him. And to me, that would be the most terrible thing in the world. And so, and then faith would be dead indeed. Thank you. And I just want to say, if you're new or struggling, please don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle. We all have one. I love you guys. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you, Team January. I love you. Thank you.
And now we've got Charles H. followed by Roz G. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Janet. So faith without works is a powerful saying. And, you know, Bill used the book of James, 25%. He used four books. I ain't here to tell you. I'm not a teacher. So faith, forward all information to higher power, right? Like, you know, and I believe this is, I don't know if this is paragraph 6, but I know one of these paragraphs, 14 to 15, don't quote me, look in the book yourself. They said if you want to give a person an answer, put it in the book. Most people ain't going to recommend that. But an oxymoron, I know there's an oxymoron somewhere in this paragraph, like you can't keep it unless you give it away. For example, I'll give you a quick illustration. Recovery, say recovery equals water, right? And you have it in your hand, you're holding it so tight in your hand, so tight that all the water comes out. As compared to opening your hand, you will retain more water. So Yeah, you know, I ain't here to tell you I sponsor a million people. That's ego. I don't need to. You don't need to know that. Just know that I got faith, and I forward all my information to a higher power, you know, and another person, but especially to a higher power. And, you know, I know a lot of spiritual people that got on a whole bunch of tattoos, and they don't look the way that other people need them to look or deem them as. They look like, you know, motorcycle riders, gangsters, and they got more spirituality than a little bit. Like, for me, and of course, the simple religious idea is surrender, right? But, like, let me give you an illustration. Religion is in a fishbowl. Spirituality is the whole Atlantic Ocean in that fishbowl. Both are necessary, but I don't need to drill down and tell anybody how religious or spiritual they are. They both meet at a certain place, which is balance. So, I wear my recovery very lightly. I very openly, I wear it on my sleeve, but I don't go around I don't have to convince anybody of my program. And so I'm so grateful for this great meme, for this great book, and for all the varied ways of people how they do their program respectfully. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Charles. And now we have Roz G, followed by Vasa O. And before Roz starts, let me just tell you all where we are. We are on page 14 of the big book, paragraph 6, that starts, "My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity." We are doing that one paragraph. So, Roz, you are up.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your service. I'm Roz G, recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. And I just want to say that today my life is big. My life is beautiful. My life is busy. And that is because of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, because of Overeaters Anonymous and other programs that I belong to. I have a wonderful life. But my life is not so busy that I don't make time to work with other people. I get up very, very early in the morning to work with others, to sponsor people and to be sponsored. Because if I don't do it, I am going to do exactly what this book says. I am going to eat again compulsively, and I am going to die. And so the way that I have faith. I have faith in this book over the years and all the testimonies, the hundreds, maybe thousands of meetings I've attended for over 20 years. I've heard so much recovery, and I could sit and listen and still hear these testimonies with the wonderful shares in these meetings and others. But if I don't do something about it, I will die. And the way I do it is to work with other people and to be of service, to serve at meetings, to chair meetings or read or time, and or simply listen or take phone calls or make phone calls. That's the works. And so I just want to say that thank you, Overeaters Anonymous, for giving me such a wonderful life. And the way I give back to you is to make sure that I'm sacrificing that time, no matter how busy I am. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Roz. And now we have Vasa O, followed by Cheryl A. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And I love this paragraph. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I was ready and I was willing because I didn't want to die. If I continued eating and doing what I was doing, I'd be dead today. And it is by the grace of God, the life I have today, because I've worked the program and still working, not perfectly, I have a life I never imagined I would have. And my friend that brought me to the program, she's a teacher. And again, my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity for demonstrating these principles in all our affairs. Particularly, it is imperative to work with others. So that's what she said to me. You know, I'm giving you free Vasa, and this is what I want from you, just to pass it on to others. And the time that she sacrificed with me, which she says, I'm giving it to you free. This is not sacrifice. I love you, and I'm giving you what I have, and I want you to pass it away. And that was the beginning of my new life. Faith without the works, it's dead. And I cannot pray and just wait for God to give it to me. I can pray and ask God to give me the power, to give me the courage, to follow the directions that are in the book. And I remember saying, oh, I can't sponsor. It's not that hard. It was in my mind. Just, I read with my sponsors, like my sponsor did. It's all here. It's written. If I follow directions, it's going to work. If I don't, it won't. And I'll go back to the food. I didn't want to go back to the food addiction. I was dying gradually, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I didn't understand the spiritual part and the emotional, but I understood the physical part. And I understood I was a compulsive overeater. I had the disease. I had the allergy of the body and the mental obsession. I didn't know that before. This is where I learned. So if you're new, just keep coming. That's what my sponsor said. Keep coming and keep coming and work the program. And this is what I do. Surrender, surrender. And this is what I do. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. And now we've got Cheryl A. followed by Rivka R. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. This is Cheryl A., very grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. It's such an important part of this very important chapter. And my friend had emphasized, so right off the bat, and then particularly it goes on later to say it's imperative to work with others. Well, I love that circle, right? My friend is working with me. And then he's emphasizing that he must work with others. It's about relationship from the beginning. It's not about trying to think myself into recovery on my own. It says the absolute necessity. This means it's not optional that I must practice these principles in all of my affairs. It doesn't say that it's helpful, it's recommended, it's ideal. It's saying it's absolutely necessary. And this reminds me that my recovery is not sustained only by my insights and my thought. It is sustained by my practice, what I do every single day, demonstrating. It does not, again, mean that I think it. It doesn't say the absolute necessity of thinking about these principles in all of my affairs. It doesn't even say the absolute necessity of believing in these principles. It says demonstrating, which to me means action. It means it's action isn't, it's not just what I think, it's how I speak, it's how I listen, it's my decisions, it's what I do, it's how I repair harm that's done through my hands. It is not something theoretical, it is something that is actually visible. And these principles, it doesn't say that practice the best things I've ever thought in my life. It says these principles, these steps. If I go to my own defaults, I'm going to resort to demonstrating principles out of my fear, control, resentment, how I protect myself. The principles that are grounded in the steps and that come out through my honesty, my humility, and my deep responsibility. This is what it's talking about. And in all of my affairs, this is not easy. It's saying it's not just in one part of my life. It's in every single part of my life. And this is where I'm, thank you, God, going into deeper corners of my own leftover, crud that I didn't think was there, but is still there. And it's every single place, all areas that I have to address, clean out, and take actions for. It's not about just what I feel like doing. It's about what I decide to do based on the fact that I have acknowledged, thank you so much, who I am today and what I need to do. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, Cheryl. And now we've got Rivka R. followed by Nicole S. Good morning, Rivka.
Good morning. Hi, Janet. Thanks for your service and all the incredible shares on everyone on the line. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. So this line used to terrify me. they will not mind be done. Like, if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, basically he was doomed. So I felt doomed. I had terrible images of being miserable if I was sacrificing myself for others, and I didn't want to do it. And I misinterpreted this to mean that, if I didn't give enough and I wasn't being a martyr, then I would die. And what I came to understand is that it doesn't mean to abandon myself to others. It doesn't mean pushing my agenda. It does mean, like in everything, to the best of my ability, to abandon myself to God, which means being willing to put myself, my thinking, aside for a moment and ask God what his will is for me. It doesn't mean saying yes when I should say no. It means asking God for his direction, like to bless something or block it. And it doesn't have to mean big, dramatic self-sacrifices. I know like Bill and Bob, okay, so like having drunk smash their furniture, I don't know if I'd be willing to do that, but, it could mean like small internal sacrifices, like sacrificing comfort by making a phone call or making an amends or letting my go of my self-centered thinking to make space for someone else. And yes, sometimes it doesn't, not because of fear and guilt, but by putting it in God's hands for direction, and that's the difference. Like, I used to always be motivated by fear and guilt and people-pleasing. I would, beat myself up with comparison. Well, others are doing much grander things, so I must be a big fake because I wasn't doing those things. many years ago, I when I first got into recovery, I remember saying to my my then sponsor that, I felt guilty for not volunteering at a soup kitchen, but I really didn't want to. And she said, well, maybe that's not God's will for you. Well, a few hours later, and this is a true story, there was a knock on my door, and I looked through the peephole, and I saw a homeless man walking away from the door, and he stood on the sidewalk looking at the house. And for some reason, I didn't feel scared, although I was home alone. I opened the door, and I asked him if I could help him. And very respectfully, he said, I'm hungry, ma'am. Would you have some lunch to give me? So I made him a good lunch, and I handed it to him in a bag, and he thanked me, and he walked away, and I never saw him again. And I couldn't help feeling like God was having some fun with me, like, you feel so guilty not working at a soup kitchen? Okay, sweetheart, I'll bring someone to your door. You can help. So for me, it's not about being like a martyr. The spiritual life looks like, what can I do for you in your world today, God? And one thing I've experienced over and over again is that I cannot show up for God if I'm not first showing up for myself by being abstinent and honest. That's the key that unlocks the relationship. And I pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rivka. And we've got Nicole S. and Pete B., and then we'll see what we've got time for. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your service. This is Nicole S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I love how this defines how to perfect in the larger spiritual life. It's through self-sacrifice for others, and that is the work that's showing our faith. And by me going through the steps and having had that spiritual awakening, this is how I show it. And I looked up those words, perfect, a verb. And to bring to final form, to improve, to refine, and then enlarge is also a verb, extend, expand, to grow larger. And this is such a good reminder for me that this isn't a one and done. This is a continuing thing. I'm always, I will never not need to work the steps. And I love, step 12, having had a spiritual awakening, we tried to carry this message into practice, these principles in all our affairs. And I think I sometimes think it's a culmination when I'm doing that. I'm carrying the message and I'm practicing this at home, at my job, with friends, everywhere I go. I'm getting a chance to practice all the steps. And so it is work. But the work is just, it's so worth it. Anything that it takes to have this beautiful recovery. And, last thing I was thinking is, those certain trials and low spots ahead. I love how it's not saying that you're going to have an easy life now. It's going to say there are going to be trials and low spots, and it's part of the human experience. And so this gives that, how do we survive those certain trials and those low spots that will come? And it's not a if, it's a when. And it is through working. It's practicing these principles in all my affairs, and it's sponsoring, it's giving that work and self-sacrifice for others. I am just so incredibly grateful for this program especially this meeting that gives the right information, how to work the steps. There's so much support out there too for sponsoring and that help. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Nicole. And we've got Pete B, and then we'll take a couple more names. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Janet. Thanks again for taking the meeting. You're doing a fantastic job. And my name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. You know, how do you perfect and enlarge anything? Right, the only way to perfect and enlarge something is to do it. Right, and the way that we perfect what we do is you do it, and then you do an assessment as to how effective you were at doing the thing. Right, and that enlarges it. We keep doing it, and we check and see how well we're doing. Right, and so when this chapter was written in 1938 or 39, he's describing an event that happened 4 years earlier, right? And then so over the course of those 4 years, Bill and Dr. Bob and the other 98 or whatever people, they were able to gather intel about what they were, how they were helping people. And because it was communicated to him that it was imperative, absolutely necessary, they wrote a whole chapter in the book about what information and how we are to approach people to be effective, right? To be effective. And so what does that chapter tell us? What is the information? What are we supposed to be conveying to the people that we're working with? Well, on page 99, it says, remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It's dependent upon his relationship with God. On page 98, it says, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence upon God. On 98 again, it says, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house. Right, so in a paragraph that's telling us like to perfect something, like when do we take a look back and see, like, are we focusing on the quantity of events versus the quality of events? Are we focused on how many phone calls we make or how many, you know, people we email about our assessment of the day versus the quality of what we're doing? Versus are we really putting our trust and reliance on this higher power, or are we putting the trust and reliance on the network of friends we've assembled, on our connection to our sponsor as our boss and our leader to tell us if we're doing well or not doing well? Like, quantity is important, but of more importance, and I'll shut up with this, is the quality of what we're doing. And that's why there's an entire chapter written about what we're supposed to be communicating to the new person. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Pete. And let me just remind you all where we are. We are on page 14, paragraph 6, that starts, my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity. Reading that one paragraph that ends with us, it is just like that. I think we can get two more people in. So if there's anyone who'd like
Jennifer
to
share.
Jennifer C.
Nancy C.
Okay.
Okay, I got Jennifer C.
Sue.
And then we've got Nancy.
Misty C.
Okay, okay, sorry. Jennifer, and then I believe there was a Nancy. So Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, everybody. Jennifer C. recovered in South Carolina. Oh, boy, oh, boy. What a beautiful book. So selfishness, self-centeredness, we think is the root of all our troubles. That's the spiritual malady. That's what this book is teaching me. So how do I get out of this selfishness, this self-centeredness that is at the root of my spiritual malady, right? That eventually gets my brain all twisted and leads to that mental twist that makes me think that picking up that first drink, that first bite, that first whatever is a good idea. I pour myself into the medication that God prescribes, and actually intensive work with the other alcoholic, the other compulsive overeater, works when every other method fails. So doing another 10 step, going to another meeting, making another phone call, right? Like, those are the other methods. They're not wrong. They're not bad. They're tools. But the method, the medication, the prescription that God has provided us that works when everything else is not hitting the spot is when I focus my attention, and that word intensive, which is what this book is telling me, I need to work with others intensively, not just work with others, like add another sponsee, give them 10 minutes and be like, well, I have another sponsee on the docket, right? Check. Intensive, concentrated, focused. I care a lot. Bill wasn't talking about how great his life was. Let me tell you how great my life is now. He wasn't saying that. You know why? Because his life wasn't so great. It says in the next paragraph that he was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. He couldn't find a job. His health was deteriorated. But you know what he could tell you? He could tell you that God saved him. He could tell you that God had the power to do what he could never do for himself. He could tell you how awesome God was. He could tell you about God's power, God's love, and God's way of life. That's all he had going for him. But you know what? That was enough. And so when I work with other people, that's the message. God's power, God's love, and God's way of life. That's the message that I'm sharing. That's the step three decision. I abandon myself to God. I say, God, build with me and do with me according to your will. And then when I get free, I'm going to tell everybody about your power and about your love and about your way of life. And that's what makes my life come out of this self-centered place where it's about my problems and my abstinence and my this and my that. I focus my attention on God's will, God's power, and God's way of life, and he sets me free one day at a time. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jennifer. And I believe I heard a Nancy in that mix. Nancy,
you did. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, you've got a minute and a half, so go.
All right. Thank you very much, Tiana. Appreciate you. Appreciate
sure.
This whole meeting. It's been just amazing. The shares have been great. And you know, I remember, I went through this book because, as the previous share said, I was so selfish and self-centered. I didn't work with anybody. I didn't have anybody. I was just me, 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 and it was all about me and what I could get. And this book has taught me that it's not about me, that it is working with others, and it is from finding the hand of God. and listening to what he directs in me. It's not how many sponsors I have or how many calls I make or who is my sponsor or turn in my food. All of that stuff is important to stay connected to God for me. But the important thing is to connect and find balance. Somebody recently told me three C's that I think this paragraph kind of sums it up. Don't count, don't compare, and don't compete. And that's what I do every day. I want to say, oh, I only have this many days and these people have more, so I must be doing it wrong or I don't know what I'm doing. Or compare, oh, they do 2 hours of meditation. If I did three, I'd get it better because I'm competing now because I have to not only be the same, I have to be better. And all I really have to do is show up and say, God, what do you want me to do today? What is your will? And that might be snow shoveling for the person next door. It might be asking for help when I need help. It is just asking. Thank you, Jen. It is just knowing that I am not the center of the universe and I have to be selfless, however that looks. And as long as I keep the food down and move towards that, everything else comes out. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Nancy. And thank you to everyone who shared. And thank you to Team January. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for January 26, 2025 is 23157. 23157. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Pete B., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I can. As soon as I turn to it, I apologize. I was not ready. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.